Zeal for your house will consume me. When we listen to this gospel, there's a trap we can fall into of thinking of this passage simply in terms of, oh yeah, they're selling all this stuff in the temple. And get it out. A little bit deeper than that. At that time, remember, animal sacrifice was part and parcel of the worship of the children of Israel. You got to get your ox and your dove somewhere. And so therefore, Jesus turning over the tables in the temple wasn't just a protest against extortion, but Jesus literally made it impossible for the typical temple worship to be performed. And the people would have been like, why are you doing this? This is why we came here, to offer the sacrifice to God. And in that moment, Jesus foreshadows on how he is the one true sacrifice. He is the one that will sum up all the sacrificial acts that are happening there. And in that moment, we can then see a very bold move, not just in terms of upsetting money changers, which they would have been. And don't get me wrong, there was some extortion in there too, so that's, you know, very valid to go into. But to the depths, Jesus is saying, whom do you worship? And then at the end of the gospel, that both hopeful and cryptic saying, people began to believe in him. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them well and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. Profound words. Is the human person able of doing amazing things? Absolutely. As I know all of you are, and I know many of you have as I've gotten to know you. People that inspire me to be a better priest, people who inspire me to live out a Christian life are sitting in these pews. Do we also know that all of us, myself included, have it within our ability to allow the worst of our human nature to come through? Sadly, we do. And we live in that tension, do we not? Which is why our first reading on the commandments is so important to us. How are we to imitate the zeal of the house of the Lord that Christ showed? How are we supposed to be willing to eradicate all the false gods and all of the corruption and all the fallenness within our world so that we can truly worship God and share and taste the zeal that Christ did? By living a life of happiness. Now you might be thinking, well, wait a second, Father, life of happiness? I thought you were going to say, based on the first reading, follow the Ten Commandments, grit your teeth and bear it, and be unhappy. Might be overstated just a little bit. But see, that's the whole point. If we think that the Ten Commandments are just the 10 rules to follow, God taking away all our fun, we miss the point. Does that passage speak clearly of judgment? Sure does, to the third generation, but it's easy to forget how many generations does mercy flow through? To the thousandth. That is no mistake by the author to show that God's mercy is far more abundant than God's judgment. And that within these commandments are these divine bricks that fall upon our head, but the law of love written within the human heart. That in following them, we create the banks of the Christian river so that the river of God's grace through the Beatitudes, through 1 Corinthians 13, may flow through and we find joy. It's the biggest mistake that many of us, and priests included, make, of thinking simply that the moral life in the church is nothing more than a set of rules to follow. It is our wiring so that God's grace can be active in us and create a river to flow through us. The first three commandments on addressing making sure that God is our first priority in life. And then the next seven, how are we to show that and live that through our neighbor? I was having a delightful conversation with a young man this last week on how the healthiest way to see the commandments. For those of you who are married or are in love or love God, or who are not married but have a deep friendship with somebody, you know that as you approach that sacrament of marriage, when you have that committed relationship, you begin to put up boundaries, do you not? You know, when you move towards marriage, you decide not to date anybody anymore. Wow, how cruel is that? You decide to make specific decisions to, you know, to protect. So you're not going to go out with these certain friends that have been causing issues for you and your spouse. How mean of you. And of course, the little bit of sarcasm intended. A married couple will say, Father, that's not mean or that's not cruel. That is simply what you do when you're in love. You protect the love that you have. And as I sit with couples whose marriages have hit difficulties, it becomes clear that those walls, for different reasons, have become weak and begin to crumble. The river of love that flows through those boundaries suddenly loses its direction and becomes murky. The Ten Commandments are our boundaries of love with God. They are not meant to be nasty rules, but the things that people who have zeal for the Lord do to protect that relationship. So therefore, I would ask you to pray with a little Mr. Rogers spirituality today. How's the river of your spiritual life going? If you were to paint a picture, present to me an image of the river of your spiritual life, would the boundaries be strong with the river raging through? Or would the boundaries be breaking down with water seeping? Take that to prayer. And if you find that the weakness of those walls is due to sin, whether it's coming to confession on Saturdays before Mass or joining us for the confession-a-thon, I guess we can call it the 18 hours of the Lord, do so. Let us see in these commandments not the law of oppression, but the commitment to liberation. That we see in them not the things that are said by God to take away our fun, but rather the boundaries that free us to love as we should. May the river of your heart flow strong in the Lord, and may that river of love then touch the thirst of those that you love within your world. And together, may we all do, myself included, the things needed to fortify the structure of those walls so that the love of God and the love of neighbor can be the center of our life and give us the grace and the life-flowing waters of our spiritual life as children of God.